It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them, right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
BP draws a line under the Deepwater Horizon disaster, and German workers promise to step up strike action. This is the Marketplace Morning Report, live from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. Oil giant BP is attempting to draw a line under the 2010 Deepwater Horizon disaster in the Gulf of Mexico, which caused the biggest spill in U.S. waters. The BBC's Su Ping Chan has the details.
The oil major has set aside another $3 billion to settle claims against the company, but insisted that almost 8 years after the disaster, it was winding down its compensation scheme. BP had already racked up a $62 billion bill by the end of last year. The explosion killed 11 rig workers and led to one of the worst environmental disasters in U.S. history.
Su Ping Chan, let's do the numbers. A positive day on most markets in Asia. Hong Kong's Hang Seng closed at its highest level since 2007. European stocks are also making a steady start. Not looking so rosy for cryptocurrencies, though. They've taken a battering. Bitcoin, Ethereum and Litecoin were down by 20% on some exchanges. Now, German workers have some of the highest productivity rates in the world, but the country's largest trade union, IG Metall, representing 2.3 million workers, is warning of open-ended action if talks on pay rises and flexibility in working hours fails. The BBC's Damian McGuinness is in Berlin.
Almost 400,000 workers from almost 2,000 firms have taken part in these strikes. And the way they've been working so far is the actual concrete strikes are lasting, in each case, maybe a couple of hours, an hour, 2 hours, in various locations. And what they really are, it's about a sort of a show of strength. And, of course, you have to remember that this union is not only the biggest, it's also the most powerful, in the sense in the past they've changed nationwide policies. So we had similar situation in the mid-1980s, and this union called 7 weeks of strikes, and that action forced the working week across Germany to be shortened from 40 hours to 35.
And any indication whether employers and the government are listening?
Well, employers have offered, instead of 6% pay rise, they've offered 2%. They've rejected the shorter hours option because they say they're already suffering from a lack of workers, which is true. It's very hard to find skilled workers now in some sectors. So employers say, well, if those skilled workers are going to work even fewer hours, we're going to have even more of a problem for productivity.
The benefits to workers are clear. I mean, the idea of working hard is that you can look after family. But are there concerns about the cost to industry, the cost to the economy?
Yeah, I mean, that's what employers say. So they say this would make Germany not competitive enough. What did happen after labour market reforms in 2003 in Germany, the following decade, there was a lot of wage restraint. And that's what got Germany so competitive. Now, profits are up. So workers are saying, well, our wages should be up as well, which a lot of people across Germany agree with.
Damian McGuinness. Now, investigations continue after yesterday's stock exchange floor collapse in Jakarta. Indonesia's safety record is spotty, but that hasn't stopped the nation courting the world's tech and creative industries. Bandung in the West has the sixth largest Twitter user base in the world, and the local government is investing millions to try and make it the next Silicon Valley. Earlier this year, the U.S. aerospace production company UTC announced it's investing in Bandung. The BBC's Rebecca Henschke went to take a look.
Bandung was known as the Paris of the East for its architecture and natural beauty. Today, its Art Deco City Council building looks very different on the inside. It's like walking into a spaceship. Ridwan Kamil is Bandung's mayor. He says he was inspired by Star Trek when he designed this command centre, the heart of his push to make Bandung a smart city.
Before the smart city, our government performance index was ranked 200. We are now ranked number one. If you use technology to make the public service better, and suddenly everything is in place.
Bandung has long been deemed one of Asia's most creative cities, with a thriving music and fashion industry. It's also an educational hub. There are more than 50 universities here, including Indonesia's biggest and most renowned tech university.
And Bandung has all of this element to take off as a high-tech city.
But Bandung also, to be realistic, faces many problems. There isn't clean drinking water out of the tap for most people. The rivers are very polluted. Isn't it important to get those basic services right?
We can do both. In Bandung, I want to combine high tech combined with the happy society. That's the Bandung dream. Yeah.
These happiness projects include investment in public parks and places to hang out that have good free Wi-Fi connections. Sissy picks up her three-year-old daughter from daycare. She's the CEO of a design and tech startup that now employs around 15 people. They're the first company in Indonesia to make digital stickers for messaging apps like Line and iMessage. She says it's easy to get talented, fresh graduates to work for the studio, but thinks there's still a long way to go.
There are still a lot of business that still prefer to do everything the old ways. They do not really open to new service.
Indonesia may have a huge Twitter base, but to attract world-class companies and workers, it will need to invest much more in basic services. In Bandung, Indonesia, I'm the BBC's Rebecca Henschke for Marketplace.
Finally, Spain has overtaken the U.S. as the world's second most popular tourist destination, according to the UN. So, muy bien to France, which stays number one. And that's adios from us. I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.